The Zamzos Garden Show is sponsored by Zamzos. The views, opinions, and advice offered by the show's hosts do not necessarily reflect those of KBOI or its parent company, Cumulus Media. KBOI makes no representations as to the accuracy of the information expressed and shall not be responsible or liable for any claims arising out of the use of or reliance upon any such information.
What kind of seeds are you sowing? Why is it so green where you're from? It must be Zamzos growing in your yard, garden, or barn. You've done it right, you see it. Got the help that you needed. Zamzos really makes you want to come home.
I'm coming home,
'cause nobody knows like Zamzos.
News Talk 670 KBOI. It's the Nobody Knows Like Zamzos Garden Show on News Talk 670 KBOI. To be a part of the show, call now 1-800-529-KBOI or 336-3700. It's the Nobody Knows Like Zamzos Garden Show on the Big 670 KBOI.
Good morning, everyone. It is another beautiful Saturday here in Boise area, and I am your host, Nolan Guthrie, here on the Zamzos Garden Show, and I'm really excited and happy to have in studio with me. I've been talking about it for a little while now, so we finally were able to work it out, and we have Casey O'Leary from Snake River Seed Co-op in studio. Casey, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited. I've been talking it up for a little while now, and I'm really glad that we were able to make it work out. And so we're going to talk about what Snake River Seed Co-op is and kind of how it started, and then we're going to talk about all sorts of seed stuff today. So if you have any questions about that, give us a call at 208-336-3700 or 1-800-529-KBOI. We've got an expert in seed starting here today, so it's a great day to get your get those questions in. And I've been getting a lot of questions over the last few weeks just because it's been so warm. People wanting to start doing stuff out in the yard already. And after last year, I get it. Like, there's so much. Last year, we were in still, like, feet of snow, and it was miserable. It seemed like it was never going to end. And this year, it's, like, just the complete polar opposite of it. Mm-hmm. So, Casey, I'm sure you have similar things going on with the co-op, people wanting to get started and do stuff. I'm sure you – and you guys have probably been going for a while already getting started for the season.
Yeah.
So what? Let's talk a little bit about what Snake River Seed Co-op is, kind of how it started, what your background is. Just let us all know what it's about.
Sure. So let's see. So Snake River Seed Co-op is in its fourth year of selling seeds. This is our fifth year of growing seeds for the co-op. And it started because I had my farm, Earthly Delights Farm. We had diversified into growing seeds, local seeds, and putting them into packets a lot of years ago. And then I realized that in order for me to do that, I mean, I can do what I can do, but because of the nature of seeds, like something like melons, for example, I can only grow one variety at a time on my farm. Otherwise, they cross-pollinate and the seeds don't come true to type. So by expanding the co-op into working with other farmers, then we're able to offer more variety of seeds to the community. And, you know, part of the reason why we want to do this is because the seed industry is becoming more and more consolidated.
Yeah.
There's, you know, small seed companies, these types of small bioregional seed companies have just been continuing to get bought out by bigger and bigger and bigger places. And so when you do that, you lose the regional adaptation, you lose the local or regional heirlooms or the cultural stories or whatever around the varieties. And then you're getting seeds trucked in from other places that aren't necessarily adapted to here, don't necessarily grow well here. I mean, seeds have this, you know, way of adapting to the area that they're in. So if you bring in a seed, my mentor, Bill McDormand, he always says that if you bring in a seed from somewhere else, it's like you're starting over. You have to teach the seed what, you know, what it's like to grow in Idaho, hot summers, cold winters, whatever it is. And so if you can, the more you save the seeds in your own area and the more you use seeds that were grown in your own area, the better they do for you.
Right.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. No, that's, I mean, it's just genetic science, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you're growing stuff for here and it's going to be used to here. So
exactly.
It's a great cause. And it, you know, it's something, You know, I went to school in Oregon for horticulture, mm-hmm. and didn't really get a chance to start doing any kind of like growing, you know, my own garden or doing anything like that till I moved here. And through a number of years working with Zamzos, I mean, it was not even something that was on my radar that, mm-hmm. you know, having seeds, oh, yeah, they're just seeds, right?
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's just another packet of seeds. It's yeah. kind of what I think we're all accustomed
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
And so having something like this is really just raising awareness for some, and I think a lot of people hear about all these, you know, the big bad seed companies and all this stuff that's going on. So mm-hmm. it's nice to have that option mm-hmm. of getting something that is grown locally. And I love, yeah. I love anything that we can do closer to home. I think it's just, it's better for everybody here.
Yeah.
You know, it's supporting other farmers, people that work for those farms, and the people that are growing that food. So
yeah, exactly. There's, I mean, we're trying to kind of, I don't know, get the conversation rolling around the idea that, you know, there's a huge surge in awareness about local food and the importance yeah. of creating a local food shed and, you know, being able to eat things that are grown here and support local farmers and all that stuff. But we're trying to kind of extend that into the idea of the seed. If all this local food that's being sold at the farmer's market is being grown from a seed that was trucked in from somewhere else,
right.
it's not exactly local food, you know? So if we really want to create a local food system, if we really want bioregional self-sufficiency or interdependency or whatever you want to call it, we have to have a local seed shed.
Yeah.
We have to cultivate those skills, and we have to work with a wide variety of things so that we have, you know, a good genetic diversity to choose from. You know, that's part of the seed movement at this point is in, you know, as these seed companies are consolidated into fewer hands, we're losing biodiversity.
Right.
We're losing I've read various statistics, but all of them put that we've lost since 1900. The number of varieties that are available in seed catalogs, we've lost something like well over 90% of the varieties that were available in 1900 are no longer available.
That's
and
crazy.
So, it's crazy. And so,
yeah.
so it's important work, because if you don't have a biodiverse seed supply and you have these, you know, kind of more genetically uniform hybrids that are meant for, you know, very industrial scale monoculture agriculture, those things are more susceptible to variances in weather
yeah.
and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, even not even only that weather. I mean, the other if people are using chemicals
yeah.
or they're using they're not properly taking care of the soil, it starts to kind of compound. You start getting multiple mm-hmm. issues. I'm always reminded of a story that Jim will tell about Grandma Z. In how she, you know, he being this, you know, young buck coming out of college, you know, was telling Grandma Z how to start feeding her plants. And she said, no, you stay away from my garden, because we've been doing it this way and we've never had those problems that all these other big farms mm-hmm. are having. We didn't ever have disease come into our crops, and we don't have bug problems, and all these other people are dealing with that. And then you start to rely on more. This is one of the things about using a lot of chemicals, is you start to become more reliant on those chemicals mm-hmm. to do anything. And then all of a sudden you've got a really big problem.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and with regard to seed, a lot of these, I mean, the breeding priorities of for the modern varieties, a lot of the modern varieties that we work with are bred for these high input systems. They're mm-hmm. bred to respond positively to chemicals of any type, chemical
yeah.
fertilizers, you know, whatever. And so when they're designed in that system, for someone to go and plant that seed in their own home garden, which is generally a lower input
right.
system, a lot of times those varieties don't thrive as much for home gardeners or for small farmers or for organic farmers
right.
as they do for the larger scale commercial growers that are using conventional methods. And so that's a huge part of this work, is to develop these varieties or take care of varieties that are suited to low input systems that don't need the constant,
yeah.
you know, very specific water regimen, very specific chemical fertilizer regimen, you know, that are bred to thrive in these lower input conditions. And that's a lot of, you know, when people talk about why they want heirloom seeds, that's one of the things I think that they're thinking, is that they're meant for a time, you know, they were bred in a time when agriculture was a more low input,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
kind of environment. And so they tend to do better in those lower input conditions.
Yeah. Yeah. Fascinating stuff. I think, this is, I'm just kind of blown away. This is a really great topic. I'm so glad you can be here, Casey. We're going to go to a break, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk about more seeds. If you want to be a part of the show, give us a call at 208-336-3700 or 1-800-529-KBOI. This is the Zamzos Garden Show on KBOI.
The Zamzos Garden Show will be back right here on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Hi, this is Jim Zamzo, and at Zamzo's, we've been helping folks grow their own food for 85 years. And if you want to eat healthier in 2018, know where your food is coming from and what it's grown with, then growing a garden is for you. We're welcoming back our local line of garden seeds, and our great selection of Livingston seeds have arrived. So there's no need to wait for seeds from a catalog when Zamzo's has what you need right here, right now. If you're starting seeds indoors, we have everything you need, including seed starting trays and the special soilless seed starting mix you need to avoid dampening off. Of course, timing is everything, so please talk to our in-store experts to make sure the plants you're starting indoors will be ready to put in your garden at the proper time. Remember, we've been doing this for 85 years, and our help and advice is free, so come see us. Because since 1933, when it comes to helping the Treasure Valley grow better,
nobody knows like Zamzos.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
Stepping into the unknown, it can be difficult to find the way. But with the compassion and security of the Shield, obstacles become openings. As we have for nearly 70 years, Regents Blue Shield of Idaho will continue to light the way, using our knowledge to create new healthcare solutions, giving you the power to shine forward to whatever awaits tomorrow. Regents Blue Shield of Idaho. Live fearless.
Nobody beats a Dennis Dillon GMC deal. With new 2018 Terrains, now an incredible zero down, $169 a month. Or new all-wheel drive Acadias, now zero down, only $239 a month. Plus, take up to $15,000 off MSRP on a wide selection of new Sierra trucks. It's all going on now for a limited time at Dennis Dillon GMC, where Orchard Street and the freeway meet, exit 52 Boise. All prices after all rebates and incentives, plus tax, title, and dealer dock fee at $299. 24-month Terrain lease, 36-month Acadia lease, both with zero down OAC.
Wow, your renovation is beautiful. You put a lot of thought into the fine details of your house.
With the help of Johnson Brothers, I made my house my home with custom interior doors and hand-picked specialty door hardware to give my home the personality that matches my style.
Custom interior doors? From Johnson Brothers?
Absolutely. Doors, baseboards, trim, whatever millwork you need. Johnson Brothers can do it. Visit the showroom at 2240 South Cole Road in Boise or online at jbros.com.
Boise State men's basketball back in action at Taco Bell Arena Wednesday against Nevada.
Simons knocks Hobbs over, no call, ball loose. Hutchison with the steal, Hutchison with the dunk.
Don't miss your Broncos clash with the defending Mountain West champs. Tickets start at just $10.
Mathis threw it away, it's a steal. Hutchison with a layup, and the Broncos lead with 18 seconds left.
Boise State men's basketball versus Nevada Wednesday at 9. Purchase your tickets today at broncosports.com.
Hi, this is Scott Singlin again, the owner of Lock, Stock, and Barrel. Here to remind all you sweethearts out there, you better not forget those reservations for Valentine's Day. Lock, Stock, and Barrel has been the favorite destination for couples for over 40 years, serving up some of the finest beef. There's nothing like some mouth-watering prime rib or some baked lobster tail to impress your date. So make those reservations today before it's too late. Lock, Stock, and Barrel. Eat well, people.
When you hear Paul, Jay, and Chris in the morning,
sound like a reality show.
Well, a little bit.
You know, you're on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back for part two of the Zamzos Garden Show. I'm your host, Nolan Guthrie, and very excited and happy to have Casey from Snake River Valley. Or I always say Snake River Valley. Is it Snake River? It's just Snake River Seed Co-op. Yeah, I don't know why I always throw Valley in there.
Well, that sounds
is there
nice.
A Snake
Go
River
ahead.
Valley?
Yeah, we're in it.
This is the Snake River Valley? Yeah. Okay. So I don't know these things. I'm from Portland. I don't know anything about where I live.
Way to out yourself.
I've done it many, many times here. So, really excited to have Casey here with us. We're talking about all sorts of seed stuff, and we've got a phone call from Ed in Parma, so we're going to take that call. Ed, how's it going? How can we help you today?
Well, it's good. I'm glad you're from Oregon, because this happens to be a question that's involving Oregon.
Oh, okay.
During the spring months, there are a group of people that are living in Oregon, and they go out and plant trees in different areas within a community.
Mm-hmm.
And they plant a chokecherry tree. Is that the same kind of a tree that you find in the mountains that you can go up and pick the berries or the cherries, and you make chokecherry syrup?
There are certainly different varieties, I'm sure. Actually, you know what? I don't know that there's many different varieties of chokecherries, but yeah, I'm sure it is. Chokecherries are really, really pretty trees. They have a really interesting, they start out with green leaves that then kind of turn to red, and then they are very prolific. They have lots of those chokecherries on them, and yeah, you can do lots of things with them.
Are they the ones that you can, steam and take the juice? Would they be usable as a food or to make things like a syrup or jam or jelly out of them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think you can even make some good chokecherry wine.
Yeah. Well, the reason why I'm asking is because I'd like to get some trees and put in, because in the fall, usually when you go up, the animals have utilized the berries.
Yeah. The birds around here especially will be very attracted to them. Our manager at Chinden had a house in the kind of downtown Boise area, and he had a big, really nice chokecherry, and he would always get tons of birds coming into that place. But yeah, absolutely. And you could probably find them at some of our stores. I think our Chinden location would be the best location that would bring those in, and I'm sure there's other nurseries that'll have them around as well.
They bring them in, they don't have them then. They have to bring them in special, because I went to Chinden down there off of Eagle.
Yeah.
And he didn't know anything about it, and he said that there's a Nathan that works with Zam's House.
I'm not sure about a Nathan. I know Chris Owings is our manager at the Chinden location,
okay. And
he would definitely know about them. So if you can get in touch with him.
Okay, but they have to order them in special.
Well, I'm not 100% sure what they have coming in. I know they've brought them in the past just as a regular stock for the spring. It just kind of depends. But, yeah, I would talk to Chris over there, and he can, if they don't have them coming in, he can get it for you.
Okay. That's
all right.
What I need to know.
You got
thank
it.
Have, you.
Thank, yeah, thanks for the call, Ed. Appreciate it. Chokecherries are beautiful trees. I've always enjoyed them. Never planted one, but I don't like things that make a lot of berries that I'm not going to do anything with. I'm really lazy. That's the other thing I out myself about constantly, is I'm a very lazy person. So we were going to talk about, I wanted to talk about saving seeds. So we've, during the break, I was kind of mentioning like my kind of background was really more focused on landscape design and maintenance. And so propagation wasn't really a big part of that my training. So, it's something I'm fascinated with. I don't know a lot about it. And I was wondering if you could, kind of educate me a little bit on how, you know, what some of the best practices, things to know to get started. I'm sure there's a lot to know. I mean, there's probably a little bit of different way to do it for everything. So
yeah, I mean, there's a lot of nuance, but the basic premise is the same, that, there's a few basic tips. Save seeds off of the plants you actually like, not off the ones you don't like. That seems, that sounds easier than it is, because as gardeners, we often want to eat the things that...
Yeah.
Right. Are the best things, but often it's better to let those things go to seed and eat the things that are slightly less awesome.
Yeah.
So that we, so our seed stock is better, not worse. So that's a basic tip. And there's, you know, you have to know the ways that plants have sex, I guess. You have to know, you have to know how they get pollinated, whether they are pollinated, whether they pollinate themselves, whether they're pollinated by insects or pollinated by wind.
Yeah.
And if they pollinate themselves, they're very easy to save seeds off of because you don't deal with a lot of cross pollination for different things. If they're pollinated by insects or wind, you just have to understand that and you have to be able to work with that. So plants that are the same genus and species will cross-pollinate with each other.
Yeah.
But the ones that are, we call them outcrossers, the ones that are pollinated by insects or wind are much more likely to cross-pollinate between varieties than others. So there's, I mean, there's some basics like that. It's kind of counterintuitive, but a lot of the seed world involves letting things go way past their edible stage to get the seed.
Sure.
So, you know, like if you were going to pick your beans to eat them, you'd pick them as green beans or whatever. But if you wanted to save seeds off of them, you would leave them on the plant until they turn brown and dry out.
Yeah.
And then the seeds inside the pods would be ripe at that point. So you could plant them. There are a few exceptions. Tomatoes is a notable exception. I call them like the gateway drug of seed saving because they're you can eat the fruit and save the seeds at the same time. So that's nice. So when you cut open a ripe tomato, the seeds inside are also mature.
Oh, okay.
And tomatoes, as a rule, are self-pollinating.
Right.
So they're a very easy one to save seed off of. I guess the only thing with that, so say you went to the grocery store, you went to the farmer's market, and you had this most wonderful tomato, and it was super tasty, and you thought, I'll save the seeds off of it.
Right.
Good idea, except for it's a good idea to know whether the seed was an open pollinated variety or a hybrid to begin with.
Yeah.
Because if it's, say, like Sun Gold is everybody's favorite cherry tomato, but it's a hybrid.
Right.
And so if you save, it's there's nothing wrong with it exactly, but from a seed saving perspective, if you save the seeds off that Sun Gold tomato and you replant them, they're not always going to come true to type. It's not like you're going to always get a Sun Gold.
Yeah.
You'll always get a tomato, but it won't always be a Sun Gold. Like I've tried saving seeds and replanting them from Sun Golds, and sometimes the plants I get are red, or the fruits are red on them instead of orange, which they should be, you know. So, but if it's an open pollinated variety, or an heirloom, which just means an heirloom is like an old variety of an open pollinated variety. So if it's heirloom or open pollinated, then if you save the seeds off of it and you replant those, they'll come true to type. So you'll get what you think that you want. You
know,
if you plant the seeds off of a Brandywine tomato, you're going to get a Brandywine year after year after year.
Yeah.
So it's good to know whether they're open pollinated or hybrid to start with. And if you save them off the open pollinated ones, you just have to know what else in the garden they might cross-pollinate with. And if you don't want them to cross-pollinate with the other thing in the garden, then you need to make sure that you remove the other thing or isolate it in some way. So that it's not flowering at the same time. And then mostly it's just like, it's just making sure that things go long enough to where they're actually, the seed is actually ripe. I will be teaching a free seed saving 101 class next Saturday, is a part of our Seedy Saturday event, which is next Saturday from 11 to 2. It's taking place at Edwards Greenhouse here in Boise. And it's a free seed swap. It's open to the public. People can come and share seeds that they have. They can take seeds that other people have to swap. There's going to be a lot of real, like, seed geeky people there that are really into seeds. And then also a lot of just basic, you know, home gardeners who don't know much about seed saving yet. But it's a great chance to just come and get a free class about how to do this stuff a little bit in, more in depth.
It feels like just in this few minutes we've talked about it, I'm a little overwhelmed with it. I was like, I should be taking notes on all this because I'm going to have to come back to this. But no, it's fantastic. I think it's a great cause and something that I think it's a good next step for anybody who's been in gardening for a while and they want to kind of like step up their game, go to the next level of gardening. And there's always, you know, there's a handful of those things like, you know, making your own fertilizer at home or, you know, making your own compost. Those are things that you kind of build up to eventually.
Oh, yeah.
This is another one of those. So,
absolutely.
Okay, we're going to go to another break. We got so much to talk about. Kyle, please stay on the line. We're going to get to you right after the break. This is the Zamzos Garden Show on KBOI.
The Zamzos Garden Show will be back right here on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Hi, this is Jim Zamzo. And if you have a dog that's 7 years old, according to WebMD, they could be up to 50 years old in dog years. In fact, large dogs tend to age faster than smaller dogs. They may need to be on a senior dog food right now. And there's no better food for older dogs than Grandma Z's Chicken and Vegetable Senior Dog Food from Zamzo. And right now, during the entire month of February, you can save $5 off every 35-pound bag you buy. So stock up now and save with no worries. Plus, it's specially formulated by Zamzos for the needs of senior dogs with added glucosamine and chondroitin for improved joint health and comfort. So if your dog is having difficulty getting up or is suffering from sore hips or painful joints, Grandma Z's Senior may be just what they need. And through the end of February, it's on sale for $5 off a 35-pound bag. So come see us now. Because since 1933, when it comes to caring for pets and the people who love them,
nobody knows like Zamzos.
The clock is ticking. Every day you put off buying life insurance can cost you big time. The older you get, the more you'll have to pay. And a sudden accident or unexpected illness could cause your rates to skyrocket or even make you uninsurable. Beat the clock. Call SelectQuote now. No hassle, no obligation. In minutes, you'll have a choice of your best rates from up to 10 highly rated life insurance companies. Richard, 40 years old, takes meds to control his cholesterol. Still, SelectQuote got him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. Under a dollar a day. Don't risk your family's security another minute. Get your free quote now. Just call 800-280-8787. That's 800-280-8787. 800-280-8787. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
I've been searching for a unique story or illustration that might help you see God for who He is and see yourself from His eyes. I thought about using a banana. That could be appealing. Or baking bread. I was worried that that wouldn't rise to the occasion. Or perhaps using an apple. But I'm afraid it couldn't get to the core truths. And I thought, how about peanuts? Maybe too nutty. And besides, who wants to talk about preacher's salary anyway? I thought about water. Probably too deep for most. Then it hit me. I'll tell you about the cross. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, God clearly demonstrates His love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. At the cross and the resurrection, God shows how valuable you are to Him and how committed He is to you. I'm Kevin Skidmore. This is a Cross-Eyed Minute Uplift brought to you by the Boise Church of Christ. You can find more about us at BoiseChurch.org. That's BoiseChurch.org, Boise Church of Christ, where church is family, a place to start over.
There's a special kind of love.
Hi, I'm Todd Good, owner of First Choice Collision Repair. Since 2002, our mission has been providing top quality work and unmatched customer service. We believe the sign of a great repair is no sign at all. We also offer a comfortable owner car free while yours is getting fixed. You just pay for gas. See us on Garrity Boulevard in Nampa and in Boise on South Pole across from Costco.
First Choice Collision Repair. First Choice is your best choice.
Buffering got you suffering? With Farmers Mutual Telephone Company's high-speed internet, say goodbye to buffering and slow internet service. With internet speeds up to 1,000 megabits per second in Fruitland and speeds up to 10 megabits per second in Payette County and Malheur County, you can stream, game, and surf. All of this with no data cap and free installation. Through February, new customers will receive their first month of internet for free. Call 208-452-6016 for all the details. Or check us out at fmtc.com.
Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back for part three of the Zamzos Garden Show here on KBOI. I am your host, Nolan Guthrie, and in studio with me today is Casey from the Snake River Seed Co-op, and I'm very excited. I'm learning a ton. I hope you guys are enjoying the program. We have Kyle, who has been waiting patiently on the line, so let's get to Kyle right away. Kyle, how is it going? How can we help you today?
Doing well. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Absolutely.
So about 4 years ago, we had a quaking aspen that died, and we had the tree removed, and we planted a brand-new globe willow. Mm-hmm. Was about 3 feet tall, was in a big bucket. And for the last 3 or 4 years, you know, it seemed to be thriving. It grew, it sprouted leaves, you know, it had branches coming off of it, and it got to be about 7 feet tall, and then it just died. It turned to this brittle twigs, and it's dead now. I mean, it would shut down over the last few years. It would shut down in the winter, and then in the spring, it would, you know, it would open back up, and all the leaves were green. There wasn't a lot of rot on the trunk, but last year it just died. It just turned to, the trunk started to just flake off with bark, and it's dead now. Basically, it's just this big, you know, hard 3-inch in diameter stick in the ground with a bunch of dead twigs hanging off of it, and I can't figure out what killed it. We watered it to death and kept it watered in the winter in the summer, but now it's dead. And I'm trying to figure out if you have any idea of why it died.
Yeah, it's tough to say. Now, you said the bark was flaking off some?
Yeah, down at the bottom, it did, like, started to split away. Like, the outer, I don't know if it's the outer skin, but it just started to crack and look really dry and dead. It didn't have bark, per se, like we think of regular bark on a tree, but it just started to come apart at the bottom.
Yeah.
And I don't know what...
Let me ask you a few questions. Did you have a tree well around it? So did you have an area where it was, like, just bark and not grass going right up to it?
No, it was just right in the grass.
Okay. Do you have a lawn mowing service?
No.
You do the lawn yourself? Did you ever use the weed eater around it to trim the grass?
I may have done that a few times, but it wasn't, I mean, I would never, like, whip the tree with the twine. And then it was right in the grass, so I could just usually mow around it with a lawnmower and not worry about touching the tree.
Okay. There's a couple of, it's tough to say without seeing a picture. Is it still there?
It is.
You still have the tree there? Okay. So let's do this case, not Casey, Kyle. Let's do this. Why don't you send me an email.
Okay.
Whenever you have a moment, send me an email. Let's get together on Monday because I'd like to see a few pictures of it. I have a few ideas, but I'd really be guessing, and I'm not 100% sure. So, and maybe what I can do is even do a lawn call and come out and take a look at it. So if you just go to zamzos.com, that down towards the bottom, there's a spot that says contact us, and you can fill out the email. And that comes right to me. So just send that, just put in the, it's from Kyle. We talked on the radio show, and then I can, we'll start that correspondence. And
just attach a couple pictures to the email?
Not on that, because I don't think you can attach pictures through that way, but just send the email, and then I'll respond to you, and then we can talk. And that way because I just don't think I can give the best advice without seeing some of it. But I think that'd be better. We can probably get to the bottom of it, okay?
Will do.
All right. Thanks, Kyle.
Yeah, thanks for the time.
Yeah, you got it. All right. So, unfortunately, I can't help Kyle with that. I wish I could. It's one of those things that, I like. It's weird. I like diagnosing tree problems. I like doing it correctly. So we're going to take that extra time and help Kyle out this week. And I will report back in a few weeks with my answer. So let's see. Casey, what were we taught? We were going to talk about something, and now I've forgotten with Kyle's question. So we've been talking about seeds, Snake River Co-op, saving seeds. We got Seedy Saturday coming up next Saturday. Is the 17th, and that's at the Edwards Greenhouse. And what time did you say it was again?
From 11 to 2. If you have seeds that you want to swap, you can come at 11.
Yeah. Oh,
if
okay.
you don't have any seeds you want to swap and you just want to be able to come and take seeds, you can come at 12:30.
Gotcha. We
have a little bit of time in the beginning.
What time are your classes?
I think the class is at 12:30. 12:30 to 1:30.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an hour long.
Yeah. And, no, that's. I think that'd be a great thing to come check out. I mean, this is something, like I said, it's a new thing to me. It's not. I'm so lazy when it comes to these things.
Well, this is the beauty This is the beauty of seed saving. Is you can be a pretty lazy gardener and have a lot of success. I think. A lot of gardeners think, if they have a lettuce plant or something and it starts to bolt, they think, oh no,
it's ruined.
It's ruined. I got to get rid of it. Or you could just let it go to seed and then you'll get, you know, 1,000 seeds or something.
You turn my laziness into productivity.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
And then you don't even have to do anything with it. You could just let those seeds fall on the ground and then they'll germinate again in the fall. Yeah. See, so you can actually be a super lazy gardener and a seed saver at the same time.
This is amazing. Groundbreaking stuff here.
Exactly. And actually with that stuff, I mean, I feel like, as a gardener, if you are an avid gardener, the idea of saving seeds is so fascinating because you get to see the plants go through parts of their life cycle that you don't normally see.
Yeah, that's
you know,
a really
if you're growing
point.
Radishes or whatever, you know, you usually just pull them out of the ground and you don't let them go to seed.
Yeah.
So I think it's actually a really good practice because you get to see, you know, a radish will make. I mean, first off, it'll get huge in the ground. It'll get like maybe 6 inches wide or something. It's massive. And it'll send up this super tall flower stalk. It might end up being 4 feet tall when it's all said and done.
Wow.
Flowers like crazy. The pollinators love it. So you can feed a lot more pollinators if you do more seed production in your garden. And then it makes like all these crazy pods. You can actually eat the immature seed pods. They taste delicious. You can stir fry them, saute them, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They're super yummy. And then once they actually ripen into seeds, you have hundreds of seeds that you didn't, you know, where one was just planted, you have, you know, I don't know how many a radish makes, but I mean, it's anywhere probably from like 200 to 1,000, I would guess, per plant.
Wow.
Seeds. So then you've got that going. That's enough for a few years anyways for most home gardeners. And you get to see the whole process. And it's so fun. I mean, that's part of what's been so interesting to me about this work is just getting to see the life cycle of all these plants that I love so much. And then also getting to see all the pollinators and all the insects and stuff that are supported by doing that, which you normally don't get in a vegetable garden.
Yeah, for sure. No, yeah, that's fascinating stuff. We were going to talk about, well, I just forgot it, but let me get the phone number out there. 208-336-3700, 1-800-529-KBOI. If you have any questions for Casey or you got anything else on your mind, give us a call. We'll get those questions right in and answer them for you. So, let's see. Let's talk about, we mentioned this, we were going to talk about this a little bit. Let's talk about hybrid and GMO and heirlooms, because we've kind of talked about it a little bit. But, you know, over the years, I always found that there's a lot of, I think, assumptions made about this topic. A lot of, you mentioned propaganda that's kind of thrown around. And it's tough to know what's right. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can shed a little bit of light on it, kind of set us all straight with that kind of topic.
I think it's
a pretty interesting thing, thing to talk about. So
yeah, absolutely. So when you are in the store and you are looking at buying seeds in a packet, so for one thing, you should know as a home gardener, you can't buy GMO seeds.
Yeah.
They're not available to home gardeners at this point. That's not to say that they won't be at some point, but they're not right now. They're just available to larger scale farmers at this point. So in the world of seeds, when you're standing there looking at seeds on a rack, what you are looking at is you are either looking at open pollinated seeds or you're looking at hybrids. And the difference is that open, like we talked about before, open pollinated seeds will come true to type if you save them and replant them.
Right.
Whereas hybrids are, they're a deliberate inbred, basically the breeders inbred two different parent lines. And so they have parent A and parent B, and then they cross them to make kid C every single time. It's the same exact kid. They know exactly what they're going to get.
Right.
And so,
I think a Sweet 100 is a good example of that one, where you have two different parents, two different tomato types that will always produce a Sweet 100.
Yep, exactly. Right. So the key to that is that if you can remember back to the Punnett square, I mean, I don't know how in depth we want to get here, but
no.
The key with that is that those parents are what's called homozygous, which means that they are the same. One is dominant and one is recessive, and both of their parents are dominant and recessive. One, you know, and then the kid is heterozygous. Okay, so anyway, at any rate, what that ends up being for home gardeners is that if you were to save the seed off that Super Sweet 100 and you were to plant it next year, you will get what we call Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. You might get something that looks like a Super Sweet. You might get something that looks like one of its parents or its grandparents or whatever.
Right.
You don't know exactly what you're going to get. That said, if you wanted to save seed off of that hybrid, if you wanted to develop an open pollinated Super Sweet 100, you could do that. by saving and replanting the seeds that look and act and taste like a Super Sweet 100 for generations out. And they say that it takes roughly seven generations to stabilize a cross.
Yeah.
So that's 7 years. You got plenty of time.
Yeah,
you know?
We got all the time in the world.
I mean, you could do that with hundreds of things in your lifetime if you wanted to.
Yeah.
So that's a possibility. But and then a lot of times people ask about hybrids versus GMOs. That's a big question. You know, a lot of times people think hybrids are GMO. And there's this conversation about how, you know, a lot of times people will say, well, it's all genetic modification, you know, that's the, you know, the idea. And I mean, in some way, I mean, semantically, perhaps that is true.
Right.
But the difference is that that these hybrids are what could be that could happen in nature. And with genetic engineering, the tools of genetic engineering allow people to take DNA or snippets of DNA from one kingdom and put it into another.
Right.
So it could be from a, you know, whatever, a bacteria, put it into a plant, or a fish, put it into a plant. But things that couldn't occur in nature. But those same tools can also be used to do things that can occur in nature. So, you know, like you could take, there's an example of do we have enough time? Can I go into this idea about potatoes?
We're right on a break, but let's hold on to it because it's fascinating stuff. I love talking about this. So we're going to go to a break. We'll come back for part four of the Zamzos Garden Show here on KBY in just a moment.
The Zamzos Garden Show will be back right here on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Hi, this is Jim Zamzel, and February is a great time to feed the wild birds. And Zamzos is your complete headquarters for everything you need to get started. You see, we've been formulating feeds for the Treasure Valley for 85 years, so no national chain knows birds better than Zamzos. But what you feed and how you feed it will determine how many and what variety of birds you'll see. For starters, you'll need a feeder. Zamzos has a huge assortment, and our expert staff can help you find the right one for your yard to attract the widest variety of birds. But what you feed is even more important, because unlike discount and grocery store seed, all Zamzos wild bird feeds are blended exclusively for birds that frequent the Treasure Valley. That's why there's no waste. So if you're looking for a fun hobby and a great source of entertainment for the entire family, feed the wild birds. We'd love to help you get started, so come see us. Because since 1933, when it comes to feeding the wild birds of Idaho,
nobody knows like Zamzos.
Lock, Stock, and Barrel.
Hi, this is Scott Singlin again, the owner of Lock, Stock, and Barrel. Here to remind all you sweethearts out there, you better not forget those reservations for Valentine's Day. Lock, Stock, and Barrel has been the favorite destination for couples for over 40 years, serving up some of the finest beef. There's nothing like some mouth-watering prime rib or some baked lobster tail to impress your date. So make those reservations today before it's too late. Lock, Stock, and Barrel. Eat well, people.
Lock, Stock, and Barrel. Never pretentious. Always delicious.
Get your sweet deal from Lock, Stock, and Barrel this Friday at KBOI.com. Look for the sweet deals link and buy a $50 gift certificate for only $25. Treat someone special to Boise's best hand-carved steaks, succulent seafood, and more. Plus, you always get your choice of side and the all-you-can-eat salad bar included with every entree. Don't miss your chance to eat well at Lock, Stock, and Barrel with a $50 gift certificate for only $25. Go to KBOI.com and get your sweet deal this Friday from Lock, Stock, and Barrel.
Nate Chelman here for AMCO. Three locations here in the Treasure Valley. Two in Boise, on Fairview, next to Winco, and on State Street near Veterans Memorial Parkway, and in Napa, 12th Avenue near Amity, where the initial check is always free. Mark Munson, owner of AMCO. We say that all the time. What is the initial check?
And so here's what the initial check has evolved into. It's a road test. It's a checking of fluid levels. It's a checking for leaks. And it's a scan to look for codes to give us a clue on where we need to go from there. So that's basically what we do now.
The Munson family has been fixing and servicing vehicles here in the Treasure Valley since 1968. So if it's the big stuff like transmissions or the little stuff, AMCO can take care of it. They can diagnose and fix just about any problem with your vehicle. That's total car care, not just the transmission. Take your car where not only I take mine, but where KBOI takes their van. AMCO. That's AA, MCO, AMCO, transmissions, and a whole lot more.
Hi.
Hi, this is Amanda with YMC Mechanical. YMC is known for its expertise in heating and cooling, but it might surprise you to find out that we specialize in plumbing projects too. So for all those dripping faucets, clogged drains, leaking toilets, or water heaters that aren't working, call YMC. We use licensed plumbers, which means the job gets done right the first time. Plus, we have 24/7 service and great financing options. And at your next appointment, be sure to ask your service technician to spin the prize wheel for a chance at instant savings. Call YMC for all your heating, cooling, and plumbing needs.
Thinking about upgrading your business phone system? Let DataTel do a free analysis to save you money. Give your employees new technology to get things done from home, a satellite office, or collaborate with someone in another country. Your DataTel Communications is an exclusive and premier Mitel telephone solutions dealer. And Mitel has recently acquired Toshiba and ShoreTel phone companies. So now, more than ever, DataTel is your one-stop shop for all things related to communications.
Call on DataTel.
We are the home for the best in local talk. Call Jay, Chris, and Nate on News Talk 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back for part four of the Zamzos Garden Show. And I feel like I could probably do another hour of this show with you, Casey, because I think there's like we're really just scratching the surface mm-hmm. of all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. There's so much we could talk about. So I think what this means is that I'm going to have you come on again another time. Because there's a lot of stuff to talk about. We're getting close to the season where it's going to be just crazy busy. Mm-hmm. So maybe towards the end of the year we could have you come on again or something. That'd be fantastic if you have some time. So, but we'll talk about that later. Casey, as I mentioned earlier in the show, a lot of people are starting to ask they want to start doing stuff. You know, a lot of people want to start fertilizing their lawn. They want to start their seeds now. And I am kind of like, it's still only the second week of February, and we still have a long time until that last frost date. So I'm always hesitant to, you know, even though it's warm, we could still get snow. I mean, mm-hmm. it could happen. It's tough to say whether or not it will, but I mean, so what are your kind of general rule of thumb when we kind of come to this topic? I mean, everybody gets itchy, you know, this time of year and they want to get started. So, I mean, what do you have to, you know, kind of recommend about that sort of thing?
Well, so I'm a farmer. And not a gardener. So I think it's a little different for me
because
I'm not willing to take the kinds of chances that maybe a home gardener can take. And also I can't go to the lengths to cover things that a home gardener can go to. You know, I mean, it's one thing if you want to throw out a few frost sensitive plants and cover them with sheets or walls of water or whatever, but I can't do that with thousands of plants.
Right.
So, For me, I tend to be extremely cautious.
Yeah.
But that said, I think that some things I would think about are obviously, you know, are you talking about cold crops or hot crops? So if you're talking about things that are frost tolerant, then there's probably, you know, it's probably fairly safe to start seeding some of that stuff at this point. But because, you know, that stuff can handle a little frost, it can handle a little snow. And I think one of the things is that seeds are better at this time of year than starts. So, you know, if you were to throw out transplants of lettuce or kale or brassicas or whatever, you know, I think they would probably be a little bit more susceptible to the frost that might come in the next few weeks. But I think, you know, if you seed seeds at this point of things like carrots or alliums, you know, scallions, beets, stuff like that, they probably will decide when it's time to sprout based on what the weather's doing. And, and they'll probably be okay. One thing that comes to my mind is to know about soil type. And if you have a heavier soil, a lot of times the seeds, if they have to wait in the ground because it's colder and they can't sprout right when you put them in, if the soil's heavy, the seeds can often rot in the soil. Whereas if the soil is a real sandy soil, they might be able to sit in that soil for a month without germinating, even if they're wet.
Sure.
And that'll be okay. They won't rot.
That's interesting stuff. And great advice for anybody out there. So we got plenty of time. Let's go to Doug in Meridian. Has a lawn question. Doug, how's it going? How can we help you today?
Good. How are you doing, Dolan?
I'm doing great.
It's always great to listen to you guys.
I appreciate it.
Being as green as our lawns, I mean green, not brown as our lawns right now.
Yeah.
is it safe to run some water over them to help them?
Kind of get them started. There's a few things. I mean, water, you know, if you've got access to water, you could put it on there. Keep in mind that if a lot of people are asking if they can fertilize now, and there's a few things. If you can't water, then you don't want to fertilize yet. You're going to want to wait. Now, we've still got the lawns are kind of warming up. The soil temperatures are going to be a bit warmer than they probably typically have been because we've been staying pretty consistently warm. But we've been getting rain, and the grass doesn't need a lot of water right now because it's still relatively dormant. It's just if it's doing anything, it's really small amounts of anything. So the rain we've been getting is enough. It's not going to make it really green up anymore. That's still kind of the grass's own biological clock, if you will. It's going to take time before it really starts soaking everything in and doing its thing. So you could certainly put some water out there. I think we've been okay with the amount of rain we've been getting. And, you know, it's still really early. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of up to you. If you've got access to water, you know, you're fine to put it out there. I wouldn't expect to see a whole lot happen.
Right. In 2015, I put your recharge on my lawn.
Yeah.
And it was the greenest one in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, I also put it on this past year. And it's just as brown as everybody else's lawn.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that can go into it. And it's just, you know, it can take time. It doesn't, you know, it can green it up faster once we get to the right time. And it's still just kind of not quite there. So it's, you know, I the other thing I always think about too is if you start doing that, you're going to have to start mowing earlier. and I don't want to start mowing right now. So,
there you go.
you know, that's another thing to consider. So
in between snowflakes.
Right, exactly. So, and the other thing I've been thinking about too, if you start doing that, if you do any kind of fertilization, you know, there could be a potential, you know, if we get a snow and the grass is starting to grow, you know, that could cause some issues. So it's better to just kind of let it wait. Let it do its own thing, and then once it kind of wakes up, you'll be able to tell, and it'll come right back. So,
I'll hold off then.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. All right. So let's see. We got about a minute left. So probably can't get into anything because these topics are so deep. We could go on forever here. So let's go ahead. Casey, thank you so much for being here. I'm really glad we were able to get it worked out to have you come on the show. I thought, you know, this is great advice and, you know, great topics to discuss. And you just remind us again, CD Saturday is next Saturday.
Yep.
And from
11 to 2 at Edwards Greenhouse. So it's a great chance to just come down and meet other people doing interesting things with seeds.
Yeah.
And if you're interested in local seeds, Zamzos is a great place to look. We have a lot of seeds there. So
yeah,
I'm glad to work with you guys.
Really glad that we've been able to continue that relationship at Zamzos, and it's one of those things I look forward to seeing come in. So the packaging is unique, and there's all sorts of things you just don't see on a normal seed rack. So really great. Thank you again for so much for being here. That is the end. We will talk to you guys in a few weeks. I'm going to be off next week for the basketball game, so enjoy that, and I'll talk to you guys again in a few weeks.